hi, it's Terry from No Crumbs Left. I'm excited to be back, and I'm sitting across from super badass Christina Kleinpeter. Welcome.
Thank you for having me here. It's great to be here.
Yeah. And we are new friends.
Yeah.
And have met through my former neighbor and friend, your neighbor and friend, Bobby, who we love so much.
We do. She's amazing.
She's one of the best, like, I think of her as like one of the best mothers of all times. And I really want to have her on the podcast.
I think that's a great idea. Yep. Got to bring her on. She's incredible.
So tell me a little bit about you, about your journey, about karate.
Yeah. So, life is really full right now. I am a mom of two boys. They're 12 and 13. And I just took on the role of CEO at a company called Eat Purely. And I am training for the Olympics in karate. So currently on the U.S. team and, just grinding every day.
I love it. And what I especially love about it is, I mean, you've had a long love with karate, right? It goes back for you a long way. Tell me about
that. Yeah. So I started when I was four. It's kind of it was a family ordeal. My dad was my coach and sensei. So he trained me all growing up. And I have three sisters. And we were all in karate together. At one point, we were all on the junior USA team together and went to places like Budapest and South Africa. So karate has been, part of my life since I pretty much can remember, and did it all growing up. And then after college, once I started my career and met my now husband, I took a break from karate and, thought it was a great run. Like, I'd been multinational champion, many years and, traveled internationally, but was ready for a break and ready to, do some other things with my life. So took 13 years off and had always wanted to be in the Olympics, but karate was never in as a sport. So 3 years ago, when it was announced at the Rio Games that karate would be in the 2020 Games in Tokyo, I decided to get back in and give it a shot. So I've been back for a few years and it's been amazing to be back. I really missed it when I was out of it, but life was so full in other ways. And being back, it's like my body just, it knew what to do. It had all that muscle memory. So I've been competing over the years, made the U.S. team and my sights are really on the Olympics next year.
And when I think of someone, training for the Olympics, I think of someone's like, they're 21, what was your story? How old are you? And what was your story to decide, I'm going for this anyway?
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. So when I heard the news that it was accepted into the Olympics, it was really ironic timing because my whole side of the family was actually on vacation in Canada in a part where, you really can't get cell reception. But somehow we got the message that karate was accepted into the Olympics, and it was amazing to all be together and be able to celebrate in our own way. Because this is something our entire family and, the karate family at large was excited about. And so it finally happened for the sport. And my first thought, I remember it being like, darn, it's too bad I'm too old, right? Like, that just stinks. I felt like I was just on the cusp of being too old. And then I started questioning my own thinking and just thought, you know what? Like, I'm in great shape. I am mentally more mature than I was when I was young. I eat great. Like, why not give it a shot? I would rather try than always wonder what could have happened.
And so you did it.
So I did it. Yeah. So it's been a journey. I mean, when I started back, it was, as a mom, like a full-time mom at the time, it was hard to figure out, like, how would I fit in working out at night particularly, right? And missing that bedtime routine. So I started with like one night back and then increased it to two nights. And now I'm training, 6 days a week, multiple times a day.
That takes some real determination and some real passion. I mean, that is a real journey to get there.
Yeah. And, I think the thing for me is when I started, I wasn't able to see the path clearly. The Olympics felt like such a dream, and I didn't know how I was going to commit the time and energy, how my body would respond to coming back, how I was going to fund my journey, any of that, right? It was unclear. But I think the thing for me was just saying yes and taking the next step each way, like at each point along the journey.
And I like that. I think that that's been very much the same journey for me. People always like, well, what are you going to do in 3 years or 5 years? And so much of everything that's unfolded has been about just taking the next right step, you know, because often we don't know the answers. And what I like to say is I often don't even know the questions.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah, I know. I was asking you yesterday, how did you get started, you know? And so it was great to hear your story and how you said yes as well to the opportunities that presented themselves to you.
And totally. It's like that passion. I mean, I think we relate in that way. That passion sort of I have for cooking and real food and getting people in the kitchen is the passion that you've had. I mean, for so many things, you know, nutrition, your children, you know, karate. But what has that been like to say yes, and how has it brought you here?
Yeah, in karate or in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think either.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think for me, this theme of saying yes has presented itself in a lot of different ways in my life. You know, I had my kids younger than I initially planned, and I think that really informed my parenting journey of saying, like, okay, like, this is where we're at. I'm having a kid, and, you know, I want to be the best mom that I can. And so saying yes to that call, I guess, in my life. And then, you know, obviously in karate, as we just talked about, and then even more recently in my role at Eat Purely, you know, I started 7 months ago with the company as their marketing director. And a few months ago, the current CEO came to me and said, hey, you know, would you want to become CEO? And I actually told him, let me think about it, because I didn't want to overcommit, even though that's something I've always wanted for my career. And, you know, Eat Purely is the kind of company where it's so my passion. It's my passion to help people eat well, conveniently, because I know how what we eat affects our body and how we feel. And so I came back a few days later and told him, yeah, I'll do it. But I also have this dream of being in the Olympics and training my best in karate. And so, you know, he and the other investors were really awesome about saying, yeah, we know that's part of your journey. Let's do it. So,
yeah. So it's like finding that community along the way, you know,
yeah,
which is like possible for all of us, you know, because we none of us do it alone.
Yep.
And to be able to have amazing people around us, you know, who will support the dream also.
Yeah. That's been a huge theme for me. And I think something that, you know, early in my life, I didn't understand the power of community and relationships. And now it's so indispensable, and it's a part of my journey, right? And so surrounding ourselves with great people who are supportive and will push us. And I think that's the only way I am at where I'm at today is because of that. And community in all areas of life, right? Like Bobby, for mm-hmm. instance. We would walk around the neighborhood at night to like relieve stress and catch up with each other, or my husband, who's amazing, and I couldn't do any of this without him, or even my team of doctors and trainers and my coach, you know, who is my dad. So
I was wondering, so it's still your dad?
Well, so yeah, so that's an interesting story. When I came back, I actually told my dad that I couldn't have him be my coach. And that was a really hard conversation for me. And I know it was a really hard conversation for him as well. And so there were a couple years there where our relationship was just really hard. And so we actually had to reconcile and figure out, you know, how to move forward. Mm-hmm. And it affected our relationship as father and daughter, right? Probably more than I would have liked, because he cares so much about me and believed he was the best person to coach me. So, but yeah, so earlier this year, actually after the U.S. team trials and I made the U.S. team, he and I regrouped and sat down and had, you know, some really, great conversations around what I needed, what I wanted, what he saw, what he thought he could offer. And I took some time to think about it and decided, yeah, why don't we try it out? And it's actually been better than I thought it could be. So,
well, and I think, like he says, there is nobody that, you know, is going to be more committed to you, knows you, you know, sees your potential. So that's, you know, that's kind of fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, it is a pretty cool part of the journey, and I'm really grateful for it. And, you know, he was on the U.S. team himself.
Wow.
Back in the day, he beat the reigning world champion at one point. And then, you know, he's been involved in USA Karate and has been a U.S. team coach in the past. And is currently on a technical committee. So he knows the sport and is incredibly passionate about it.
Yeah, from every different angle.
Yeah.
So what kind of, tell me about your partner. I know that you, you know, Bobby has said you've got a real partnership. And how does that work? Because there's a lot of balance when you have a big job, children are training for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's really hard to balance it all. I think balance is pretty elusive, but we try our best. So, yeah, my husband, his name is John, and we do have a true partnership. You know, it's something that we always wanted from the beginning of our marriage, and I would say we've really had to work at it. Like, it's not something that came easy to us.
Okay, thank you for saying that, because I was like, oh, she just has one of these partners where it just came easy. But
no. In fact, my husband and I, you know, we've had conversations like over the years, why is this so hard? Like, other people seem to just have these really easy marriages, and ours just wasn't easy in the beginning. And I would say even, you know, we've been married 15 years now. So I think in the past 5 years, it's gotten a whole lot easier. And we're probably our best that we've ever been now. But, you know, in our relationship, I do think a pattern of our relationship is that when life gets hard, we do pull together. And so, you know, we're in a season where life is amazing, but it's incredibly complex and demanding. And, so we've worked at it. I'll be honest. I mean, we actually have always gone to marriage counseling, like at some point, you know, since the beginning of our marriage. And in the beginning, it was more proactive because we wanted to build these healthy patterns and cycles. But, you know, it brought up all that junk from our past, and some of which we knew and some we didn't know. And so, you know, we've leaned into, I think the theme is we've leaned into experts to help us along the way. And that hard work has really paid off. And we see it every day in our relationship. And you know, our partnership, it kind of goes in seasons as well, where, you know, he was working a full-time job and did an MBA on top of that. And that was my time to really support him and take on a lot of the household responsibilities, you know, and with our kids and all of that. And now it's kind of my turn. But he also has two companies and they're newer. And so we're just juggling a lot. So you know, I feel like we are only able to do it because of the work we put in early on.
Yeah.
And we're reaping the rewards of that now.
That's amazing. So you have two kids and I know you're gluten-free, right? And tell me a little bit about, because I know eating is important to you and you really know how to use food as medicine. Would that be correct to say?
I think so. I do like to think about it that way, that food is medicine. That quote really resonates with me. So I do eat gluten-free. You know, I try to eat minimal dairy. I think that's pretty much it. Otherwise, it's just whole foods, clean ingredients, you know, balanced diet, all of that. Because I work out so much, I need more carbs and actually sugar than I previously was getting. But yeah, so the gluten-free journey for me has been interesting because, you know, I worked with kind of a natural, like, functional medicine doctor years ago, and he told me before anyone had heard of gluten and before it was popular to eat wheat free, if you remember those days, he told me that I should really try and not eat wheat because he thought it was causing, like, water retention and inflammation, and that I would be able to compete better without it. And this was, you know, back in the day before I took that 13-year break from karate. So I tried it and I really felt better. And so I hung on to that for a while and then kind of, you know, reintroduced it back into my diet. But then when I had kids, I was always wondering, you know, how is food going to affect them? Are they going to have any sensitivities, things like that? And, you know, we did end up discovering that both of my kids actually have food sensitivities and allergies. Yeah.
And so how did it change what you ate? And just is the whole family gluten-free? Do you guys eat paleo?
Yeah. So our whole family is now gluten-free. For a while, it was my sons and me, and my husband would eat gluten occasionally. But he actually, in the last year, had a test done that showed that he has a gluten sensitivity as well. So now we just all eat gluten-free. And, I mean, he pretty much ate mostly gluten-free anyway because we do. But, yeah, that's kind of you know, how we eat as a family, and we've gotten used to it. So it's pretty easy to do. And I've had friends that have had to start eating gluten-free reach out to me and be like, how do I do this? You know, and we discovered my son's allergy. It would have been when my older son was 2. So this was 11 years ago before really, you know, everyone knew about gluten-free. So I've watched that whole movement. And
really how was it like before and after for your son?
Yeah. So my son, when he was 2, the doctors noticed that his growth was declining as far as, you know, how rapidly he was growing. They were comparing his growth to the growth charts. And every time we went to the pediatrician, he was dipping on the curve, and it got down to where he was in the 5th percentile for height. And so the doctors at that point said, you know, if he doesn't start growing, then we have to diagnose him failure to thrive. And as a parent, that is just so scary to hear, right? It's basically a diagnosis.
What does that basically mean?
Yeah, it basically means that the doctors don't know what's wrong, but he's not growing.
Yeah.
And so there's something about him where he's just not going to thrive, which is super scary. So at that point, you know, we were like, okay, he gets to eat whatever he wants. We don't care if it's scones, chicken nuggets, anything, right? And he was kind of a picky eater, so we fed him whatever he wanted. And what actually ended up happening was that actually brought the problem more to light, because all the only foods he wanted to eat were the beige foods and foods that were actually harming his body.
Yeah.
So we got to a point where he got sick and he started vomiting blood, and we had to rush him to the ER, and, you know, scariest moment probably of our parenting life. You know, they could explain why he was sick, but they couldn't explain why he was vomiting blood. And I know that's pretty graphic. So they couldn't explain that. And then I put it together, like, with him not growing, and just thought, what if it's all related? I had read a mom blog somewhere along the way of her kid not growing, and that she took him off gluten and he started growing again. And so I decided to try it. I didn't want to wait for blood tests because we just got out of the hospital and had been in there for a few days. So tried it, pulled him off gluten, and he, you know, his entire digestion changed, his entire demeanor changed, his attention span changed. And, you know, I mean, toddlers, when they're 2, it's not like their attention span's super long, but he was having a hard time, you know, sitting in my lap reading a board book for 2 minutes, squirming the whole time before we took him off gluten. And then afterwards, I found him reading for 20 minutes on his own. Like, yeah, he was just so much
just
calmer.
Like, almost immediate.
Oh, yeah. It was 24 hours later. And so, you know, I told my husband about it because I had really been the one with him every day throughout the day, with my older son, Gabe. And so we just decided, yeah, let's do this. Like, and then there were a couple times where he was under someone else's care and they accidentally gave him gluten, and we came back and we could tell right away that he had eaten it. Yeah. So it was pretty apparent once I knew what to look for. And I've seen how, you know, food affects us.
Yes.
And you know, my sons, I think the winter before we pulled them off the foods that they were sensitive to, they were getting sick more, you know, multiple times during the winter. And after pulling them off, it's like we went through an entire winter without them getting sick. So
you've really seen it. Yeah. I've been gluten-free for years, you know, had some periods of going on off and on, but then, you know, a number of years ago, it was just like, you know, when I ate gluten, what happens for me is I felt like the inside of my stomach was scraped. I feel like, with rare exception, I can really find something wherever I go. Like, you go to Italy and it's unbelievably gluten, you know, gluten-free friendly. And, you know, sometimes I'll call the restaurant in advance, but it is just, you know, it's a better way to live, and I feel, you know, so much better. So tell me a little bit about your parent philosophy.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as a parent, I've just tried to raise my kids intentionally, and to really partner with my husband in that as well.
And what does that look like?
Yeah, I think it looks like there being purpose and meaning behind what we're teaching them or modeling for them, and then also taking into account age appropriateness, right? And so when they were toddlers, it's like we can't expect them to do certain things, right? Like, there's a label out there of the terrible 2s. I never wanted to use that label, mm-hmm. especially around my kids. I just don't like labels. I try not to use them at all. And And then, you know, really seeing a stage like that as, well, this is age appropriate. They're supposed to push back, right? And my older son is now a teenager, and I'm seeing different behaviors from him than we've seen over the last handful of years, and have to remind myself, like, no, this is age appropriate, and this is actually what we want him to be doing as part of his development, even if it doesn't necessarily feel good to me.
And what are some of your tips, you know, for people if they're interested in doing that?
Oh, man. Yeah. I think, you know, just being aware of our parenting is probably the first place to start of, you know, what we're teaching our kids, what we're saying around them. You know, one of the things it's like, it's all the little things, yes. Right? So it's, I mean, I've heard parents, and I've probably done this too in the past, say to their kid, say, oh, well, you know, my kid doesn't like broccoli. Rather than saying, oh, you know, like not even saying that because there's still a chance they might, right? But then the kid believes, oh, yeah, I don't like broccoli. Right.
So our words really have power.
Our words have power.
Ears are listening all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And then trying to just help them be good human beings too, be kind to others, understand other people's story, know their own story enough, their likes and dislikes. I really, you know, we're definitely countercultural in that. We don't overschedule our kids. I want my boys to have time where they're bored so they can be creative and play and discover what they like and what they don't like. So,
and how does that work? I mean, I totally, like, I always loved the Waldorf school. And for, like, pre-education, I took my kids, although they went to, you know, something different from kindergarten on. But just this idea of play and the idea of being able to, you know, be bored and to see what you can discover is, I think, such an integral part of really being a great parent, you know, and just allowing your kids to have time to be. I agree. I think
yeah,
that's really
that's awesome. Yeah. It's been fun for me to see that develop over the years and just what their interests are, you know, because they're drawn to certain things when they have free time. And so each of my boys, you know, they're drawn to their own likes and dislikes and kind of get passionate about those.
I know that you're all about pushing yourself, you know, to be your best self beyond your limits. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I guess it's just part of how I live my life. It's been a part of me, I think, since I was young. My mom would be the first to say that I always overschedule my time. I like living life full and don't always want to believe that I have time limits on things. So yeah, but I, you know, I also think it's part of my training in karate, helping me to be my best, you know, taking feedback as really that someone cares and is willing to take the time to tell you how to improve instead of as just criticism. And so kind of having a high tolerance to feedback, whether it's positive or, you know, negative. And then I went to design school as well, and that's a common theme there too. I mean, you have design critiques, and the point is to rip your design apart and make sure there's meaning behind your design. So it's really just a part of how I've grown up, and I think all of it plays into, you know, trying to live my best life. I know life is short, and we don't know what the next day will bring, and so I'm just trying to do my part in the world to, you know, live my best life and have that contribute in some greater way.
What's your advice for young people?
Yeah, so my advice for young people, you know, I spoke at a school at the end of this last school year and really wanted to be able to summarize that in a way where they could hopefully remember it. And so what came to me is, you know, be you, be courageous, and be kind. And I think for me, that really summarizes it. And, you know, in order to be you, you have to know who you are. And I went through a time in my life where I didn't really know who I was. You know, I was kind of like going with the flow of what other people said I was. But we have to really know who we are and what makes us tick, what our passions are. And so be you, be courageous, like do the hard things, try things, you know, give something your best shot. Don't kind of diminish yourself and say, no, I don't think I can do that. I think as a woman too, that's a big theme. I think as women, we're more humble than the men typically are and don't give ourselves enough credit. You know, guys typically, and I'm kind of stereotyping here, but, many guys can do something one time and feel like they're an expert at it and represent themselves as an expert at something. And I feel like in general, women can do something once and, you know, think, yeah, I've only done it once, right, and kind of represent it that way. So I think courage is part of, you know, giving ourselves credit for what we have done and what we've tried and what we're willing to try. And then the be kind part, you know, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. In our world could use more kindness.
Living in crazy times. Yeah. I just was reading the book, Shonda Rhimes' The Year of Yes, which is a book that everybody should read because it's amazing and inspiring. And, you know, there was this idea of being able to claim the parts of us. I do think in many ways it's much harder for women to be like, I'm doing this and it's super badass and it's, you know, and it's pretty fabulous, you know. Or that idea of like, well, I'm a woman and I shouldn't swagger in and be like, but it's this idea. I mean, the book is about many different things, but it's about her coming to that. That is like, celebrate that and absolutely do that. And
yeah, you know. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely something I've had to learn. You know, it's not something that's necessarily come natural to me, but it's amazing when we can, you know, see ourselves for what we've done and what we've accomplished and celebrate that. And I think sometimes, you know, in the busyness of life and just pushing forward. I mean, my day is nuts, right? It's so jam-packed.
It's got to be. Talk about balance. I mean, you could teach a workshop on that.
Yeah. So, but I do think it's important to take the time to step back and be still and just celebrate. Yeah, I am badass. Because I usually don't think about that.
Right.
It's easier to look at other people and be impressed, you know, and then it's harder to look at myself and be like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty awesome, right?
How do you think it is for your kids? I mean, I would think, like, I would be pretty impressive that, like, my mom is – how old are you?
Me? Yeah. I'm 39.
Okay, 39. And my mom is training for the Olympics, you know, on the U.S. team. What do you think that they would say or think?
Yeah, it's – well, I would love to hear what they say, but I kind of get glimpses of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they definitely are proud. And they're at an age where they are excited for me.
Yes.
You know, I think if they were younger, it would be a very different story. And I don't know that I'd be doing what I'm doing right now. But, yeah, they're super excited. They love it. They push me out the door to practice. They're like, go kick ass, Mom, you know. And I've even had, you know, I've been in the situation of really wanting to be at home for something in the evening or at an event for one of my boys, and my younger son Will saying, you know, Mom, this isn't going to matter in a year. Like, you need to go because you're trying to make the Olympics. So
yeah.
Go to training.
Oh my gosh,
you know,
kind of
and I just feel
cry. That's beautiful.
I know. Yeah. I just feel so supported and lucky and blessed. And I think that a lot of their attitude is actually a reflection of my husband, right? If my husband were resentful about it, that would transfer to the kids. But I think it really shows that he's supportive as well and trying to help them understand what I'm doing, but what we're really doing.
What you're
doing.
All doing as
yeah,
a team.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you, you know, knowing, like, what do you think you bring your team? You know, there is wisdom or whatever you have at 39 that someone might not, but what are some of those things that you bring to the Olympic team?
Yeah. You know, I do think that being an older athlete, I bring a different perspective on the importance of rest and recovery, even though I'm not great at it, because I'd rather get into training than rest. It's so much harder for me to actually make myself rest and recover. But I know the importance of it. And honestly, having torn my ACL a year and a half ago, that kind of solidified that in me of, you know, the difference between risk and reward, and sometimes training when we're overly sore or tired could actually do more harm than resting. So I think I bring that. And then I also think I bring some nutritional expertise that, to be honest, like we don't really talk about that much, but I've learned the importance of pre-fueling and refueling before and after trainings. And I've noticed the difference in my own body on how sore I am or, you know, how energetic I feel.
And what do you recommend pre-fueling with and fueling after post-fueling?
Yeah, I mean,
I just want to fuel all the time, but that's another
well,
story.
I love fueling all the time too. Yeah, okay. So, but specifically, you know, before a workout, making sure that I'm eating, you know, some carbs and protein, and then afterwards really replenishing those glycogen stores with good carbs as well as some more protein for those muscles to rebuild.
So Eat Purely, that's in Chicago?
Yeah, we're located in Chicago. Our kitchen and offices are in Westtown. And we deliver all across the city as well as to some of the suburbs like Oak Park, Evanston, and the North Shore.
And what are the, and it's sort of like healthy food, or tell us what food it is.
Yeah, so.
What boxes can you check?
So we want to help people eat well conveniently. You know, our chefs are making fresh food every day, and that's what's being delivered to our customers in the evening. Customers can order through our app or website, and it's, you know, they can order on demand. So I think that's one of the things that makes us different from some other services out there where, you know, you can order our food and it'll be at your door in about 20 minutes, or you can also order ahead. But specific to the food, you know, we really focus on kind of balancing, well, we want our food to be delicious, nutritious, and convenient.
Okay.
So really making sure that, you know, while the food may be healthy, it tastes great. While the food tastes great, that it's healthy. And we do, you know, we do have food standards. So we are sourcing food that is, you know, does not contain preservatives, artificial colors and flavors. We try to cook with minimal amounts of sugar, salt, things like that, so that our food can really be accessible to a broad amount of people.
But you have gluten-free. Do you have Do you have paleo and vegan?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, we our menu rotates a couple times a week, and we do also try to curate a menu that will meet customer demands. So we have a variety of proteins that we offer. We try to meet different dietary requirements like gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, vegan, vegetarian, paleo as well.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
well,
so it's really
fun.
I
haven't tried the food, but I would, although I had a cookie, it was good.
Yes, yes, we'll have to hook you up. And we just, you know, we just brought on a new culinary director, and she's incredible. She has a background in farm-to-table, worked at some great local restaurants like Lula Cafe, if you're familiar with them.
I sure am. Yep.
And then some other James Beard Award-winning restaurants, one out in Boulder, and then most recently, the French Laundry in Napa.
Oh, well, that sounds like a great place. Talk about a wonderful little resume there.
That's, oh, my goodness, I know. Lovely. So we recruited her to come back and help us.
Great.
And we're just really excited to have her on board. She's doing a great job with our food, right down to the ingredients.
I love that. Well, that's definitely impressive. So if people want to find Eat Purely, how do they do that?
Yeah,
what's the Instagram for them?
Yep. So our website is eatpurely.com, and you can find us on Instagram at Eat Purely.
And we can't wait to try the food. What my last thing I want to ask is just funding. How have you found funding? Tell me just a little bit about that.
Yeah, great question. So everything I've done so far has been self-funded. You know, my family has made a great sacrifice for me to be able to travel. Just in the past year, I've been, you know, to six countries, competing internationally, and that doesn't even include, you know, national travel as well. So I am actively, you know, starting to pursue fundraising routes, looking at sponsors and other support to help finish out my journey. The Olympics are in just under a year now, and the next 5 months are really critical to that.
I bet.
Yeah.
So if people want to get in touch with you because they're interested, how would they find you? If someone's like, oh gosh, I want to be a part of that, what do they do?
Yeah, please follow me on Instagram. My my name is C. Kleinpeter, so that's C-K-L-I-N-E-P-E-T-E-R, and you can follow my journey there.
Wonderful. And if somebody's looking for you and they can't find you, they can come to No Crumbs Left on Instagram, direct message me, and you can find me there. So thank you. First of all, thanks for inspiring us.
Oh,
I mean,
you
got an amazing journey going, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch from the sideline. And, you know,
well, thank you so much, Terry. Yeah, I definitely
will.
So when
you go through those trials and stuff in the end, you'll send stories over and you'll update us.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me on here. It's been great getting to know you a bit. And I'm excited to just be on here and share my story.
Thank you. So if you're looking for me, come find me over at No Crumbs Left on Instagram, Facebook, or on the blog. Everybody have a fantastic day.